You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 76. My guest today is Helen with a dream that she brought to the show because she thought that it might be about an investment property that she's thinking of selling, and she wanted to explore the dream and see whether she was making the right decision, you know, as to whether to sell it or not. But she also thought at the back of her mind that the dream might be maybe about other stuff as well, and maybe a bit deeper and even more meaningful. So, of course, it was. I mean, why else would our current Australian Prime Minister make an appearance in the dream, and our Brisbane Lord Mayor? And why would she end up in New York? Unless, selling an investment property in Australia. So, yes, it's full of deep and meaningful stuff. And it ends up, as you will hear, with some really, really great, helpful, positive advice and steps for Helen to take to move from where she is now with just one little step to where she really, really, really wants to be. So you can learn so much, not only about dreams and dream interpretation and dream alchemy, but also tips to take yourself forward in life from this one. So here you go. Enjoy. Welcome to the show, Helen. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Jane Theresa. Thank you. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. Although I said this morning, it's actually we had an early lunch. Does that make it afternoon?
Oh, I guess so. Let's just roll with that.
What dream have you got for me today?
Well, my dream is actually one that I experienced over the weekend, and it quite naturally divides itself into four parts. So I guess I'll explain it to you from the top.
Yes, please.
It starts in a block of units, which is actually meant to be the block of units where I have an investment property. And I'm joined by my sister Liz, and we're walking up an internal ramp, and we come across an apartment where there are three American exchange students. And as we're approaching them, I become annoyed because I realise that they have their laundry on air as drying in the hallway. And that irks me in the dream because you're not allowed. Body corporate doesn't allow you to do that. But then I realise that other people in the units across the hall have some of their things out on display. But I also notice inside their unit they're hanging up their laundry there as well. I realise that there's a brief exchange with the girls, and I feel like I've actually mentioned to them that I'm wanting to move. But the next thing, I'm back in my what is meant to be my unit, although it looks different, by myself. And I realise that it is a different unit, and it's quite empty. And I'm waiting for the American girls to come up. But I realise that I actually feel quite sorry for them, although I can't remember why. And I know that I'm waiting for them to come, but they never do arrive. Then in the next scene, I'm actually standing in the middle of what is meant to be Brisbane City with my sister Liz, and we realise that there's a slight ground movement, and the buildings in front of us actually fall, but they fall away from us. And I mentioned to Liz that it's weird that none of them actually fell in our direction. And as I'm saying it, I realise quite a tall, dark building starts to fall in our direction. And although I feel quite panicked, I noticed that my sister is quite calm, and she tells me to follow her lead. So we kind of hide in a little nook and cranny in the ground, and the building falls on top of us but without harming us. The next scene is then in another area of Brisbane. I'm walking along the street, and this time I know that I have someone beside me, but I'm not too sure who they are, but I know that they're quite wise and that I'm taking their advice. And in fact, as they're offering up their advice, they recommend that I cross the street, and if I go underground, I'll actually hit a bikeway. As I realise that they're talking to me, the scene in front of my eyes change, and I actually see Julia Gillard coming out of a cheap chain store, and I realise that she's wearing what looks like a white short jumpsuit, which unfortunately in the dream is not overly flattering to her. However, once I've made that note, I've noticed that in the dream, she readjusts the jumpsuit and it turns into a really beautiful black elegant ball gown, and she looks quite stunning, and she moves on with her entourage. But I realise that she's handed me a press release that's in my hands. And the first thing I notice about the press release is that there's quite a lot of typographical and grammatical errors, which I want to correct, but I'm annoyed that she's given me this press release to work on. In any case, I follow the guidance and I go across the street, and when I hit the busway, it is actually a bus that I get on, and I'm following a blonde woman who is quite an attractive woman, but she has a lot of self-assurance about her, and so I feel like I want to follow her onto the bus. Once I'm on the bus, I realise that the press release that Julia has handed to me is actually the Brisbane City Council's press release, and people on the bus are discussing the same issue that's in the press release, but I can't get my head around it. Eventually, everyone gets off the bus, and I realise that the woman is now yelling at the bus driver, who turns out to be our Lord Mayor, Campbell Newman, and they're having an exchange, and she's able to articulate what I would like to do with the press release or the content of the press release, but of course I haven't yet got my head around. Then I'm in the fourth scene of this dream, and this time, I should mention that when everyone gets off the bus and I also then get off the bus, I realise that Julia Gillard has actually made me do her dirty work in the phrase that I hear is upstaging the opposition. But of course it's not till I get out of the dream that I realise that Campbell Newman's just a little different level of government. Mm. So the fourth part of the dream is I'm sitting in a darkened room, and it's very, very tight up against me. It almost feels like I'm sitting in what would be a cart type shop that you'd see on a New York street, you know, the little hole-in-the-wall type shops.
Yeah.
And I'm busy working on some writing projects, and I have a small window above my head, so if I'm standing up I can look out onto the street, and I realise that people are coming in to ask questions about my work, and I'm sitting there collating information and paperclip them together, write down my details about a website and pass it on to them. But to be honest, I'm not too sure about this part of the dream, other than it was, I felt quite confused, claustrophobic, and that it was dark. Then I wake up.
And good recall as well. I have to just reinforce for all our international listeners that Julia Gillard is our new Prime Minister here in Australia. Yes. So yeah, I'm sure you'll all know her name very soon, but in these early couple of weeks, maybe they don't. I suspect they do. Given the story behind all of that. Really interesting. At the end of the dream, just a few questions, Helen. At the end of the dream, although you said that you found that bit quite confusing, you know, sitting in the hole of the wall doing your writing, a bit confusing to recall, do you remember how you felt about the actual writing process there?
I actually enjoyed the writing process, but felt that I was being distracted. And because of the nature of the room, it was quite dark and gloomy and quite claustrophobic. I didn't feel that I was allowed to be as expressive with the writing as what I wanted to be.
Yeah, okay. That's really good, because that puts everything in context, but we're just going to ask you a couple of other questions first.
Sure.
Your sister Liz is with you in the earlier part of the dream. So what three words would you use to describe Liz's personality or approach to life?
Okay, she's very level-headed. She is fun-loving, but she's also trustworthy.
She's fun-loving, but she's also trustworthy. What did you just say there, Helen? So straight up, as you're laughing in recognition there, you know, sometimes when we are talking about, particularly about a symbol from a dream, and Liz, although Liz is your actual sister, she was a dream symbol here, we can our unconscious mind speaks loud and clear. So what you said there was she's fun-loving but trustworthy. So at some stage we may or may not go into your dream to find out why you have an unconscious belief that if a person is fun-loving, they're not to be trusted, you know, because there was the word but in there. She's fun-loving, but strangely enough, she's also trustworthy. That doesn't normally happen with fun-loving people. So we will go back, and I think it will be a minor part of your dream, but we will go back and say, you know, at what stage in your life you took on an unconscious belief that to be fun-loving meant that people wouldn't trust you. So actually that's probably quite a big aspect of it, but we'll come back. you also described Liz as level-headed, and towards the end of talking about your dream, you did say quite a lot, getting my head around it, like I couldn't get my head around the press release, and the word getting my head around it came quite a lot. So with Liz being level-headed and you getting your head around things, there's going to be, as we look at the dream, probably a divide between how you use your head and your heart and the particular values that you associate with thinking versus feeling. So we'll come to that. Mm-hmm. And just a couple of other orientating questions on our other main characters of the dream drama. Julia Gillard, our new Australian Prime Minister, yes. And Campbell Newman, our Brisbane's Lord Mayor. So the same three questions, Helen. Julia Gillard, which three words would you in particular use to describe her personality or approach to life?
Sure. And of course, without knowing the poor woman personally,
yeah.
obviously she is a leader. However, the issue of trust does come up again with Julia Gillard for me. And also the idea of deceit.
Okay, that's good. Sorry, Julia, if you're listening, but it's all about how other people perceive.
Yes.
You know, everybody in the dream tells you, you know, is associated with how we all view and assess other people. And it's really key, and I'm talking to everyone listening here, it's really key, as Helen is doing here, to be totally honest, you know. And we all like to see the best in people, and of course that's how we go about in our waking life. But when it comes to our dreams and we're dealing with people as symbols, it's really important to do what Helen's doing and be really honest with ourselves and bring in our less positive judgments of people as well. And Campbell Newman, Helen, what three words would you use to describe his personality or approach to life in your eyes only?
Yes, and in this quite honest viewpoint, I actually also find him untrustworthy and quite slimy. There's a used car salesman feeling about him. I believe it at those two. I think any other words that I use would still reiterate that theme.
The same, okay. So we've got, without even looking at the dream, we've got some overlaps there between Julia Gillard and Campbell Newman, and that not sure about trusting them, feeling of deceit for Julia, although she's a leader, and a feeling of slimy used car salesman for Campbell, although he's also a leader on a smaller scale. So your dream is going to be exploring some of these issues in your own unconscious mind. So, you know, what you trust and what you don't trust around the time of the dream. Now, remembering also that the dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours. So whatever we look at in this interpretation, it relates to what was happening for you in the 24 to 48 hours before. And in looking at that, it'll be resonating with the past and into the future and everything. So you said the dream is at the weekend, so this will relate to Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday. Okay. Another technique that you can really use when you look at a dream, especially a long dream like yours, is to sort of stand back a really long way and look for opposites. So one opposite that really jumps out at me, for example, is the concept of the investment, you know, the investment block at the beginning. And even if I say that, I hear the word block, the investment block. But anyway, the investment, which implies, you know, even though you are an investor in waking life, this is an investment you've made. Investment supply, it implies abundance and money and, you know, expenses or whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the opposite to that, you describe Julia Gillard as coming out of a cheap discount store, I think you said, and wearing...
Yeah.
Clothes that really did not look good on her, and yet when she changed from her white jumpsuit that really didn't suit her into this beautiful black dress, you know, everything changed. She looked more luxuriant and rich, but also basically carried off a better personality. So there's a used car salesman. How cheap do we want to get? Is this car an investment or not? So there's kind of like, you know, there's an issue throughout the whole dream of investment or money, or how I value my money or my values in general, whether or not that's related to money, versus what could be cheap and nasty where I might undervalue myself or fear undervaluing myself and all those kind of issues. So that's some of the ones as we go in. Now, another thing, it's such a positive dream and I love it. And just to go right in at the middle, Helen, you've got that sense where you're in the Brisbane city centre and there's the feeling of the earthquake coming on, wasn't there? You know, you thought the dreams were, the buildings were going to fall.
Yes.
Yeah. Whenever you get that in a dream, that feeling of an earthquake or the ground beneath your feet shaking and moving, it's usually indicative of a change in your life that you can feel coming up, but it hasn't quite slotted into place. And the dream is dealing with this. The dream is like saying, oh, everything's about to change and I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Yes, exactly.
But, yeah, so there's a feeling that in the day or two before the dream, you either did something or became aware of something or began to contemplate something that that means that you are either bringing a change into your life or you feel like a change is being imposed upon you. And that middle part of the dream is exploring how you feel unconsciously about that. And what I find interesting about that is that you in the dream, kind of, it's all okay until you say, oh, you know, there's none of the buildings are falling towards us. And the moment you call that card, the building falls towards you.
Yeah.
It's like doom. And you naturally panic at that part of the dream. But then what's really interesting is that Liz in the dream, who represents another aspect of yourself, actually is much more calm. And she, in a sense, gets you through that part.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then the rest of the dream, we'll, as we go through it, we'll see that this is about changes in your life and exploring the pros and the cons of all of that. So that's another little layer in there. So that the part of yourself, which is Liz, that you see as level-headed and fun-loving, and strangely enough, trustworthy as well, is the bit that gets you past this feeling of, oh, these changes feel like doom and gloom to me. So part of going ahead with the changes that you either that you've either chosen for yourself or you feel are being somehow imposed upon you is to keep a level head and yet be fun-loving, to take a fun approach, and actually to allow trust on every level into your life. And in a sense, you know, calling just before that, going, oh, isn't it great that all the buildings are falling away from us and none of them are falling on us? I mean, that's kind of like the antitrust. That's not just trusting that everything is going to be good. It's like, oh, maybe something could be bad here. And bam, it's there just reminding you that what you imagine can actually happen if you allow yourself to imagine it. So that's one part of it as well. And at the in the bus segment of the dream, Julia Gillard gives you this press release and asks you to work on that. Is that just a personal thing, or have you worked in press releases and writing in the past?
Have I? Yes, it was actually a very big part of my life. Up until about a year or so ago, it changed. So I used to work in PR and communications.
Okay, so that being handed a press release and looking at it and going, I can't get my head around this, da-da-da-da-da, and also feeling in the dream that, in retrospect, that Julia was really asking you to do her dirty work with this press release, is actually a personal symbol to you of your time when you used to deal in press releases. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the changes that you're contemplating at the moment in your life relates to how much you're stepping away and how far you're stepping away from those kind of days. You know, and then this can go both ways. It can be, I am so past all those days. I'm so writing in a different way, because you're writing at the end of the dream. I'm so handling life in a different way. Or it could also be, and we'll explore this through the dream, oh no, surely it's not back to press releases again. Like, what I'm doing in my life, you know, I'm now having to bring the press release angle in, and I really don't like this. I really feel like this is doing dirty work.
Okay.
And because Julia is coming out of a cheap discount store there, it's like the feeling, for good or for bad, in your dream is your unconscious mind is saying, I just don't want to do press releases, whether they're for someone else or for me or anyone, because for various reasons associated with when I used to work in that area, I feel it's associated with doing dirty work, for other people, with being cheap and nasty in a sense rather than deeply authentic.
Sure. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay. And then what is lovely is the way that Julia herself goes through a transition in the dream. She actually does evolve from being cheap and nasty in her white jumpsuit into something elegant and beautiful and black. And I like the black. It's almost, you know, black in a dream is often what's unconscious or what we don't know. So even though in waking life and in the dreams, Julia Gillard isn't in your sort of top 10 people that you'd probably like to spend a lot of time with.
Number 11.
She does go through a transformation in the dream as if, yeah, there is another side of Julia here. Julia does not have to be cheap and nasty. She is actually also able to sort of carry off the other end of the scale and with great grace. So there's a feeling there that part of the change in your dream is a deep recognition within you that, you know, maybe you can handle a press release type stuff if it's required, but it doesn't have to be in the old way, in the cheap and nasty, dirty work way. It can be in the new and wonderful and good work way. So that's kind of like one thing that's being considered in the dream. Mm-hmm. And there's a feeling in the dream shortly after that where you got on the bus and you wanted to, you couldn't get your head around the press release, and you also wanted to say something to the bus driver, to Campbell Newman, but you held back and that blonde woman did it for you. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense in the dream of you wanting, in a sense, to get off your chest your feelings related to press releases.
Yeah.
But you're holding back for some reason. And the blonde woman who manages to achieve that for you in the dream, for good or for bad, is a kind of a nascent part of yourself that you may be ready to step into. Because in the, I think when you mentioned her in the dream, you said you kind of, didn't you say you kind of admired her in a way?
Yeah, I found her quite intriguing and attractive, really. And because of her self-assurance and her confidence and the way she carried herself.
Okay, and the way she carried herself, and I think there was a mention of that in Julia's transformation when she had the black dress on, there was more of a sense in the words that you used that the way that she moved and carried herself was better too. So this is a part of yourself that no matter how confident you are now, no matter how self-assured you are now, no matter how well you carry yourself now, she represents the part in your dream where you are increasingly intrigued with that and would like to have some more of that yourself. So that whereas before you might have held back from making your opinions felt, you are now looking for a way to express your opinions or your or whatever, but in a way that is self-assured and confident and carried off well rather than carried off badly. So the word that strikes me here, Helen, is elegant, like moving into or considering changes where you may be frightened of moving ahead, of thinking, I don't want to sort of enter into what I used to regard as cheap and nasty work and inelegant, but I am ready to do it in a new, embracing a kind of new elegance in my wording, in my expression, and so on, elegance. If we go back to, if we actually compare the beginning and the end of the dream now, at the end of the dream, you were kind of enjoying the writing you were doing, which now makes sense to me, and I'm sure to everyone listening in, that this writing at the end isn't press release writing. This is your own stuff, in a sense. It feels like that in the dream, because you're in the flow. And yet, although you're in the flow at the end of the dream, and although you have kind of like your shop, your New York-style hole-in-the-wall shop. And people are coming to you and you're handing stuff out and it's all flowing, and yet there's a feeling of claustrophobia and restriction in there. And at the beginning, and we'll come back to that, and at the beginning of the dream it was the same. It's like, I've got this investment, but people are not doing things right. They're putting their laundry out to dry and they shouldn't be doing that because there's a law, a body corporate law, that says you must not put your washing out there, and they're doing that. So there was kind of like a restriction there too. It was, I like this investment, but there's something wrong and it's restrictive. So that we've got the beginning and the end of the dream sort of on that theme, which suggests that during your dream, you touched on lots of possible ways to move forward, which are very positive and very, very good. But the bottom line of the dream was that you're still feeling a bit restricted and a bit limited, and we're going to look into why that is and clear that.
Yes, please.
Yeah. there's just something else that just jumped into my mind and jumped out again at that stage. What was it? Oh, yeah, New York. You know, because you likened that shop to a hole-in-the-wall kind of barrel in New York, is New York part of your personal experience? Do you go there often?
I wish I went there often. I've been there once before, in fact, while I was working in communications and with PR. And it is a place in the world that I love, probably above all others.
Why? What is it that appeals to you?
Oh, there's a lot of things about New York that appeal to me. By and large, it is the energy of the city and of the people and the... there's kind of an eclectic mix of everyone and anyone fits there and can make things happen there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because I was going to say to you, what's the personality of a New Yorker in three words, but you basically said eclectic. And
the fitting, I guess, or belonging and I guess the possibility.
Possibility.
That can make things happen.
Okay, that's great. So New Yorkers are, in your personal opinion, and from the time you spent there, eclectic, a sense of belonging, and have that wonderful sense of possibility that anything good may happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So because that's at the end of your dreams, like, oh, wow, here I am writing. I'm not doing all that PR stuff. I feel really good about this. It's working. It's happening. People are coming and going. The whole thing's happening. I'm even New York style here. I'm even doing eclectic. I feel a sense of belonging. I have the possibility that anything might happen. And yet there's just one sort of feeling of being restricted that I've got to get my head around and just unlock that bit. Okay. So you want to be more New York, you want to be yourself, more eclectic, the sense of belonging and the possibility of things happening, but the possibility of good things happening, not the possibility of buildings falling on you as opposed to away from you.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'm not really sure whether Julia Gillard and Campbell Newman would fit into the eclectic kind of personality style.
No, I would not put them in that basket at all. I'd put them in more of that rigid process, governmental mind frame, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd put them in the same boat.
Mm, yeah, I think they're quite opposites, aren't they, in the view of your dream? Yeah, and so if we then just slip back to Liz, who's level-headed, fun-loving, and yet, strangely enough, also trustworthy. fun-loving in a kind of a way also goes with eclectic. Cause to be eclectic, you've got to sort of have a bit of courage and take the risk to blend a bit of this with a bit of that with a bit of that. That doesn't necessarily fit into anyone's particular view of what you should be, and yet in New York is almost the definitive sense of belonging.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. And this issue of trust goes throughout of all this. Would you trust a New Yorker?
Yes, I would.
Why?
Well, strangely enough, I feel like I would trust anyone that came in front of me. I do feel like I do trust people. So regardless of whether it was a New Yorker or anyone else, I would trust them.
Yeah, I understand. So we can't answer that question because you'd have to be in your dream to know how you felt about a New Yorker.
Possibly, perhaps.
when you did go to New York, it was when you were still working with the PR firm, with the communications firm. Did you experience a limitation or restriction when you were there because you were working for them?
Well, it was more when I came back I felt a restriction because it had been a bonus to go on the trip. And I felt restricted at the time in making decisions in my life I wanted to be making because I'd been offered this particular trip. So there is, I guess, an element of restriction that I do see around New York as well.
Yeah. So in your personal unconscious symbolism, New York can represent... It's like, oh, the symbol of everything that I would like, New York. I really would like everything around that, you know, to be eclectic, belonging, the possibility that anything can happen. And yet my experience tells me that when I made that choice in the past, when I accepted that bonus, it actually did restrict some of my choices.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want to go backwards. One of the things we want to do in the Dream Alchemy is go back and unlock that unconscious experience or belief so that you can go forward and have the New York experience, whether it's actually in New York, whether it's home here in Brisbane or wherever it is in the world, and you can do your writing and you can be in the flow and everything can work beautifully, but there's no unconscious limiting belief left over from those days that said, hey, you can't have both. You can't have that and have choices. Single.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, that's going to be the main bit we're going to go in at, because there's a lot else in the dream. But just want to touch on a couple of other things, Helen, first. At the beginning of the dream, it's like, okay, you... The beginning of a dream usually describes a situation in your life that you're really exploring with reference to the last 24 to 48 hours. So it's like right up front, it's my investment. And that's not necessarily your actual investment properties. It's what you invest in yourself, you know, what you've done recently. So from what you're saying, it's like I'm no longer a publicist. I'm now investing in myself and the way that I work. Right.
Yes, there's definitely that aspect to it, although... To give you the insight, I am in the process of considering to actually sell my investment property.
Oh, right.
Yes. But I think that there is a double meaning there for sure.
Yeah. So when you're in the actual process of thinking of selling your investment property in waking life, is that in order to make a further investment?
Eventually. In part for me at the moment, I actually feel... Life of the unit does represent a part of my life that doesn't fit anymore. Mm. However, logically speaking, it's a great investment. So to let it go is quite difficult for me.
Right, I understand. So you're operating in waking life at the same symbolic level of your unconscious mind and dreams, and seeing that releasing an investment that makes sense and yet represents an aspect of your life that you're ready to let go of and change is a kind of clearing, a kind of decluttering, a kind of manipulating of your waking life in order for everything else to move forward.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. So that in the dream, the symbolism, because you're looking at it with that symbolism in waking life, it, you know, a deeper symbolism also comes into the dream. So the thing that's in the way in your dream is that you are waiting. In the dream, you go to the upstairs level and you're waiting for the American girls to come to you, and they don't come. Now, there was the restriction that we've mentioned, and the restriction at the beginning of the dream was there is a way of doing things. There is a body corporate law, and it is that you can't put your laundry out here, whether it's Julia Gillard's dirty washing or somebody else's. That you can't put your washing out there. So it's like there is a part of yourself that either now or in the past has worked by the rule book. It can't be done. There is a rule against that. That's not acceptable. That's level-headed. I'm getting my head around that. That's kind of like structure that you want to release. And in a sense, in the dream, you go higher up in the units. And when you go higher up in a dream, you're often going up for a higher perspective. So you might be just going up higher emotionally or intellectually or spiritually or for an overview. And your overview there is, well, I've got something better up here and I'm waiting. But nothing's happening. It's interesting that the girls in the dream are American.
And you realise I only just made that connection now. I didn't realise this at the time of having the dream.
Yeah. So, well, we assume they were from New York. All right, so you now mix the beginning and the end of the dream and go, okay, everybody in the dream is an aspect of myself or represents my beliefs in some way. So at the beginning of the dream, I, Helen, have an investment or had an investment that I'm looking at changing because I want to move on and invest in myself in a different way or in my world in a different way. And what I have noticed is that there are laws and certain ways of doing things, and maybe sometimes I restrict myself in wanting to do things the way that they should be done. And yet at other times I can lift myself to a higher level and see a different way of doing things. But it's like I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting for maybe this New York part of myself, which may be eclectic, may have a sense of belonging, and may have every possibility that something could happen to come up and join me. And just maybe, I don't know, but just maybe those girls in the dream that put their laundry out on the stairs, maybe they put their laundry out on the stairs because there were all sorts of wonderful things happening inside the unit that were eclectic, and, you know, they were in the middle of massive projects by which, you know, new possibilities might happen, you know, or maybe not. But the idea is that, you know, there is the limiting thing at the beginning of the dream was how things should, or more specifically, how things should not be done, seem to be getting in the way of what you wanted to happen. You know, you were there, you're waiting, this is not going to work for me. I want to have the Americans with me. I want to be more eclectic. I want to have more of a sense of belonging. And I also want to embrace more the possibilities that all sorts of things can happen. And in a sense, you realize that in the dream, because that's when you then go through this whole process where you're with Liz and you go through various things by which you then arrive at the earthquake and the changes. So it's like, yes, possibilities can happen. I am indeed ready for this. But if I step outside my sense of order about how things should be done, don't leave the washing on the landing, whatever, then am I really ready for the shaking of the ground and for the changes? Yeah, maybe it'll go wrong. Maybe things will fall on top of me. And the character that really leads you away from that is Liz, and particularly her fun-loving yet trustworthy. So my feeling there in the dream is, if you can, we all need a sense of order, and you know, we need to set rules and regulations about how we work or how we are and so on. But if there is a time for you to release some of that and replace, instead of that, some amount of balancing with more fun-loving, because if you do things that are more fun-loving, or you express that side of yourself more and more and more and more, and I know that you do, but more and more and more, then it opens up more trust. Not so much other people trusting you or you trusting them, but your trust that the buildings are not going to fall on top of you. Mm-hmm. And then that goes further. It goes, yeah, look, you know, run this past me again. Yeah, I don't want to do that old PR work. Feels like the leader, Julia Gillard, and the leader, Campbell Newman, are both associated with cheap and nasty, don't really trust that. So there may also be an aspect, and I feel this is very strong with you, that Helen, the leader, sometimes thinks, maybe I don't want to be a leader, because if I'm a leader, maybe it's like cheap and nasty. Maybe there's a level which I don't trust that I can be the leader, or maybe there's a sense in which other people won't trust me, because, you know, who trusts a leader? And yet Liz was a leader. She led you away. And yet that blonde woman in the dream was a leader, and you were curious, and you wanted to be able to express the way, and she expressed, and she expressed in a free-flowing kind of more creative way. So that to me is you know, the change that you're contemplating in the dream is, yes, I'm actually ready to be, I am ready to be the leader, but I don't want people to see, to think that I'm cheap and nasty, or to think that they don't trust me. How do I get people's trust? Well, really developing my full potential into an absolutely stunning leader. And know that not only will I, Helen, trust that wonderful things will happen, but that other people will trust coming to me, and that they will know that I also give a fun-loving kind of aura around me, and that is also something to be trusted, not something to be worried about. And if I can do all of these things, then at the end of the dream, I would be in my New York great, big, wonderful, luxurious shop doing my writing. And yeah, feeling really, yeah. So before we move on to alchemy, I'm just going to do a little bit more and then ask you for some thoughts and feedback. We've touched, Helen, upon the fact that wanting the New York thing, wanting possibilities to happen and your writing to really take off for you, does seem to be hindered at the moment by an unconscious belief that says you can't have everything you want. If you have that, then you're going to have restrictions, just like when you got the bonus trip to New York when you were working with a communications company. It came with a restriction of, but you can't do what you want. So we want to get rid of that. And the other thing we want to get rid of is this feeling of one of the other things we want to get rid of is this feeling that unconsciously fun-loving is associated with not being trustworthy. Can you think, just off, you know, without thinking too hard at all, really, does something flash into your mind from your distant past where a fun-loving person ended up not being very trustworthy?
Well, not specifically, but it does raise for me the issues of, you know, being serious and being focused, and the responsibility and therefore the trust that is bestowed on you for having those qualities. There's someone who takes an easier approach and enjoys the process with perhaps perhaps without the structure that the focused responsible person has. There's definitely a divide between those two ideas for me.
Yeah, I can see that from what you're saying. And of course, any time you focus on something, you do need to some extent to organise a structure for yourself. You know, I would do this on Monday morning, I would do this, but I won't do that. I need, you know, and that kind of structure. But what you're also saying to me is that if a person approaches this in a fun kind of way, the job must be too easy.
Yes. Yeah, I guess fundamentally that is my belief.
So there may be a sense that you may make things more complicated to make them more credible.
Sadly, yes.
And that just makes a lot of work for yourself.
Yes, it does.
So later on after the show, you'll probably contemplate and come up with the first people that you met that made you think or feel that, hey, if that comes easily to you, if you've got a natural talent there and it's easy, you can't be credible. Or, you know, if you're going to enjoy doing this work, and if you're going to find it easy, and if you're going to find it fun, then it can't be credible. Who's going to pay you for that? So you might go back and find the first person that kind of inadvertently taught you that, and it became, you know, established as an unconscious belief that's actually limiting you until we do the Dream Alchemy today. And because even to some extent, the most complicated focus things can be... Now, I'm going to backtrack on that. I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, Helen, because I know you will have felt this so many times, that when you're really doing something that you really love, you're in that sense of flow and timelessness. You know that feeling?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And when you do that, it's usually because you're doing something that is either easy for you or you're passionate about. But you are also, when you're in that sense of timelessness, aren't you focused?
Yeah, there's a different kind of focus that comes into play when you do have that moment of timelessness. Absolutely.
What's the difference between that kind of focus and the sitting down and going, okay, I've got to really focus now?
It's where my energy centered. I know if I'm being focused in my head, that's where the process and responsibility and time frames come in.
Yeah.
If I'm focused on my heart, it's timeless. There's no concept of time, and I just enjoy the work that I'm focused on.
That makes a lot of sense. And of course, when you work for the communications company, all those things you mentioned, responsibility and time frames, would have been part of the job.
Oh, absolutely. It was in my pores. It was everything that I lived and breathed during that time.
Yeah. So that is a very real experience, and it's real for, you know, 99% of people walking on the planet. And you have had the privilege of being in that maybe other 1% of experiencing the timelessness of doing something that you really love, and knowing that that is a different kind of focus that equally well gets things done, but it's a focus that comes from the heart rather than from the head. So there's that sense too of being able to release the past approach of working from a head focused and allowing and trusting your heart to know a different kind of focus that still delivers, and probably delivers in a much better and perhaps more elegant way.
Mm.
Which is really interesting. And there was one other... Oh, what was it? Was that one, that one? Is it going to come to me? Doesn't look like it's going to come, so I'm going to have to leave that one. It might come in a minute. Probably just saved you there. Yeah. So, Helen, would you like the feeling... before we move into the Dream Alchemy, would you like to give some feedback, add some extras, or enlarge upon any of that, or ask any questions at this stage?
No, I think that we've pretty much covered everything off, and I like that you have picked up obviously on the connections between the press release and my previous work and the writing and that timelessness. Now there are new projects beginning for me that do really require me to be 100% completely focused from my heart. So no, I think that's all the information for now.
Okay, that's lovely. So what we'll do is, you already have an extra awareness now because we've kind of dissected your dream. So some of these things have moved from being unconscious beliefs to you becoming consciously aware of them. So, you know, that is part of the step. You will then catch yourself as you move forward from this point when you think, hang on a minute, did I just link fun-loving and not being trustworthy together? You know, and those little things you'll notice and begin to change. But of course, the deeper work is doing the dream alchemy, which accelerates the changes that you would like to have. So my picture is of something like, you know, when we do dream alchemy, what we're doing is working with the symbols that your unconscious mind chose in its dream to transform them, so it releases you from limited beliefs that are holding you back, like the limited belief of I have to focus with my head, or I'm not credible unless if I flow from my heart, or I can't have everything I want without having restrictions placed on me. So we play around with your dream symbols by doing a dream alchemy visualization to reverse and undo, transform basically those unconscious beliefs into ones that support you in your journey to achieve exactly what you just said there, Helen, which is to be able to focus from the heart with that sense of timelessness so that you can do your writing, and I'm adding my own words now, in a more elegant and easy and fun-loving and not necessarily hard way.
That sounds really good to me.
Okay. So, what I'd like to do is perhaps just move right to the end of the dream where you've been through all the changes and basically just work with transforming the situation at the end of the dream, because basically at the end of the dream you've got everything except the feeling of restriction is in your way. So I'm thinking that we transform the shop at the end of the dream into something still in New York, because I think it's got those wonderful characteristics that you want in your life, and we make it not a hole in the wall, we make it still busy and still got that New York energy kind of feel, but a much bigger space, and a feeling of elegance, and a feeling of flowing from the heart, and a feeling of ease, and a feeling of fun loving. Mm-hmm. Now, if you could think of something to wear that would fit, that would make you feel like all of those things, if you could imagine wearing something that would be at ease and fun-loving and a sense of timelessness and really symbolise your writing, an easy writing, not difficult writing, what kind of outfit are you picturing at the moment?
I can actually see it quite clearly. It's a long sleeve, free flowing tunic dress, really, that has beautiful soft fabric that breathes really easily, allows the breeze in, and the fabric moves beautifully in the breeze. And it has a pattern on it that has quite a lot of colours, yellows, fuchsias, purples. And also a bit of blue and green in there also. I can see the sandals that I'm wearing with it, and surprisingly enough, I have short hair, but in this picture I have long flowing hair. So.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. And you don't actually own that dress yet, do you?
No, although if I could find it, I'd be quite happy to buy it.
If anyone's listening in and you know that dress, I can get to Helen for you. No, that's absolutely perfect. And what I particularly love about that is the way that you describe the breathing of the dress, you know, because you've got, you know, the dress isn't on your head, it's on your body. And so that breeze is coming in and caressing all around your heart. You're feeling the flow and the easy breathing there as well. And the colours are absolutely fantastic. We're going to get you wearing this in the visualisation. And I'm going to suggest that you either go and find that dress or that you either paint it yourself or draw it yourself or commission someone to paint you wearing that dress and have that as an icon to continually remind yourself whenever you sit down to do your writing that that's who you are now. And that although we're going to go and do this visualization and I'll, you know, take you through it and tell you how to do it, that on top of that, whenever you sit down and do your writing, you just imagine, you close your eyes just for 3 seconds and put that dress on in your mind's eye. And then feel the breeze and then start the writing. Always breathing easy, and as you breathe easy, thinking easy, easy flow. Not hard, complicated, you must have a structure in the head, but easy flow, easy breathing, easy flow. It's good to be rewarded for what you find easy, because if you're doing what you find easy, you're working with your talent, and that's usually something that other people shake their heads and go, how does she do that?
Yes.
If you're working with your ease, hey, you found your thing. You don't need to make it harder for yourself. So let's try this for the visualization. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Okay, closing your eyes. Helen, here you are in New York. Feel the vibrancy, feel the energy, feel that eclectic sense of belonging and the possibility that anything wonderful can happen. Feel so good, it's in the air. And look where you're sitting. You've got this beautiful space, plenty of room, and you're wearing your special in the flow writing New York dress and sandals. And you can even feel long hair all around you. It's a beautiful feeling, easy breathing, breathing in and breathing out. Easy feeling, breathing in and breathing out. As easy as breathing, the flow from your heart. As easy as breathing, the heart focus. As easy as breathing, your own natural talent shines. As easy as breathing, it's all easy. As easy as breathing, your writing is beautiful. As easy as breathing, it flows. How does that sound?
It sounds great. The interesting thing for me, Jane Teresa, is while you're explaining that, my body feels it and my head is still stuck on the fact that I have to invest in therapy. My head is, no, you can't breathe yet. You're not ready to breathe yet. You have to let go of it.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to suggest with that is that you first of all take a step in waking life with your investment property, make some decisions. Yeah. And then secondly, what we might do is add, when you go through that visualization, you know you've got hair, long hair in the visualization, maybe add some kind of like a soft hat or a veil, not over your face, but over your back of your head, something that's actually from your head so that that feeling of the dress comes up and over the back of your head. And when you do that breathing, to breathe up into your head as well and breathe in and out of your head. And then maybe at any other time, if it's still bothering you in a few days' time when you're still doing this dream alchemy visualization, just do another one where you're at the beginning of the dream and you walk up through the investment building and you look at all their washing hanging out on the steps. And as you pass each item of washing, it transforms into the same kind of fabric of your dress and just basically floats away.
Yeah, I can see that now, and it's going quite easily, and it's releasing even as you're just saying it. So that's fine. Thank you.
A pleasure. You know what to do. Do the visualization 20 times a day for a couple of weeks. And then just twice a day, night and morning, for 4 weeks after that. But, you know, as your dream shows, you are so, so there. It's just one tiny little step. And there is so much drama in your dream, you know, with the earthquakes and everything, because you are just on that one step. And I do believe, because of the feelings that you felt when we did the alchemy there, that it's happening right now.
Absolutely. I can feel it too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your dream, Helen. You'll have helped many, many people listening in.
I hope so. You've definitely helped me tremendously. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, sometimes I really love giving a dream alchemy practice that involves a what would you wear component, because even though it 100% works as a dream alchemy exercise, you know, it basically really transforms the way that you see and feel about yourself, and that carries forward. It also just gives you that little opportunity to maybe pop along to a shop and buy a new dress or a new suit or whatever. So, but anyway, it's all serious stuff, but I guess I said that just to show that you can be fun-loving and have an easy kind of life and still be totally credible, which is all part of Helen's dream as well. It was great having a lot of you come over to Facebook after the last show and popping in some ideas and thoughts and questions. And I'd love you to, those of you who haven't got there yet, to come over and tell me what you think of the show, what you'd like to see, interact with me. There's all sorts of things coming up on Facebook that are going to be increasingly interesting over the coming weeks. It's going to be the place to be, where I could say you hear it there first, even though you actually read about it in Facebook and you hear about it here on the podcast. But at this level of starting to get very pedantic, I think I'm going to go now and wish you a lovely week. And I'll see you next Friday for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.